I'm sure everybody does. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 this morning. And we'll get right into our lesson here this morning, and something that I enjoy studying a little bit about the life of Paul, and something very valuable that we can learn here in chapter number 1 to help us from day to day. I've never met anyone that doesn't need some encouragement in life. I'm that way as well. There are times in life when I need encouragement. We all need encouragement. And that's one of the purposes of why we have what we call the local New Testament church. We do come, we assemble together, we sing, we teach, we preach, but also I think it's a time of being edified, and that word means to be built up, to be encouraged, and I think that's very important in life, and I do find encouragement from chapter 1 here from the life of Paul. We'll get into that and study a little bit more about his life. Let's do pray and ask for God's blessings today. Heavenly Father, we do come this time once again, and Lord, very simply ask for your blessings upon this hour. God, we do pray that you would meet with us, that you would speak, that you would work, that you would teach us, that you would guide us in all that we do this morning. We do pray for our morning service and the preaching of your word. We pray for your blessing there. And God, once again, we do ask that you would bless, that you would, Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would do a work in our life. And Lord, may we leave today changed to become more of how you would want us to be more like you. We do pray, Lord, for our missionaries once again, and we mention them, and Lord, ask that you would bless their lives, and that you would take those that are maybe raising their support this morning, that you would bless them and help in the area of giving, that they would be able to, Lord, get to the mission field as soon as possible. For those that are already on the mission field, we pray for them that you would help in supplying of their needs as well, and we pray that you would bless their ministries this morning. We do pray, Lord, for our nation, what a needy, needy country we live in this morning, and a very needy world that we live in. Much chaos in this world, but Lord, we know this morning that you're on the throne, and that you're in control, and Lord, that you know all things, you see all things, and Lord, we just pray for, Lord, revival is what we need. We need a spiritual awakening in our nation, in our lives. We pray for that this morning. We love you. We do pray for those that are sick this morning. We pray for the lost that need to be saved. May we do our part in being a strong, bold witness for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 is where we will be this morning. I'm not going to read verse by verse. Normally I read each and every verse, but this morning I will probably overlook maybe a couple of verses, not that just for sake of time here this morning. But as we get into our lesson this morning, 2 Timothy is the last of Paul's epistles. And to have an understanding of where Paul and where he is at in his stage of life, Paul writes this letter while he is in a prison in Rome, in awful conditions. You have to understand and realize the all that Paul has endured in his life, and we'll get into that as we get into this chapter here. But Paul is concerned about Timothy, and he's concerned about the work of God, because there had been great persecution that had become upon the Christians of that day. The Roman emperor was very hostile towards believers, very hostile, of course, against Paul as well. And because of all the persecution that had come upon the believers, there was that tendency to maybe to change or to turn back or kind of, as we would say today, throw in the towel and quit. And Paul was very concerned about that, and that's why he is writing here unto Timothy, because he's very concerned for Timothy and for the work of the Lord, and he wants it to continue. He doesn't want what he's even having to go through to be a discouragement to others. In fact, Paul's going to use what he's actually having to endure as a good thing for the cause of Christ. You know, I'm a firm believer this morning. There are many things that happen to our lives. We don't understand why they happen, and they may even look negative and dark and bleak at the moment, but we have to understand it's for the better good. There is a purpose and a reason. There are times that we will struggle. There are times that we will be treated unfairly. There will be times you will be lied about. You will be cheated in life. Those things are going to happen to the believer. I mean, we must get our head out of the sand this morning and understand and realize we do have an enemy this morning. The devil is our enemy this morning. He's going to do all that he can and make everything possible to make life very difficult for a believer. And life was difficult for Paul. Life was difficult for other believers. So Paul now is concerned about that. He's concerned about Timothy. Timothy's a kind of a young guy. Wants to encourage him and other believers as well. So Paul is going to encourage Timothy in this letter and all those who read these words to continue. And I think one of the keys is to remain faithful to God. We teach, we preach, we talk much about faithfulness and how important that is. And I believe it to be vitally important this morning. And Paul was facing, we have to understand, you got to realize as Paul writes this, he's facing his death as he writes and as he pens these words. Paul realizes, I'm probably not going to live. I'm probably not going to see a day of freedom outside this prison. I will probably die in this prison. So that's the setting that Paul finds himself in as he pens this letter here. We find in chapter 1 here, verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse number 3 is kind of where I'm going to begin this morning. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, one thing about being in prison, you've got a lot of time on your hands. Paul took much of his time not only to write. I kind of believe that Paul did three things. I believe that Paul slept, I believe that he wrote a lot, and I believe that Paul prayed a lot. Prayer is, I think, one of the keys here to the success, and I guess maybe even to the light of Paul being able to keep his sanity, I think, is accomplished through prayer. And we find here that in verse number 3 that Paul had many needs himself, yet he never forgot to pray for others when he prayed. And Paul is telling Timothy here that I have spent time in prayer for you. And he's going to encourage him through this letter here and in this chapter here. But his prayers, we find in verse number 3, he says, I thank God. You know, Paul was one that I believe began a prayer with thanksgiving. You know, it's good. You know, sometimes I find myself as guilty of much of my prayer life praying for needs that I would like to maybe see fulfilled in my life, where I need to reverse many times in my prayer life and realize I need to spend a lot more time praising God and thanking God than asking God. Let me ask you something. Does God know everything about you this morning? Yes, he does. He knows your needs this morning. He knows your struggles this morning. He knows what you're going through this morning. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with going to God in prayer and asking for things. And I think that's part of the prayer life, of asking, of needs, and of a prayer request that maybe people have shared with us. But I think much more of our prayer life ought to be spent in thanksgiving to God. And even I believe it was very custom for Paul in his prayer life to be thankful, and I believe that his prayer begins with thanksgiving. Paul never complained, I don't think that Paul ever even expresses a regret about his situation. I think I've shared this with you before. If I found myself in prayer, I don't know if it's true or not. You get arrested and put into prison nowadays. The old saying was you get one phone call. I don't even know if that's true anymore, but if I had one phone call, who would I call? I'm assuming I would probably call my wife. Now, if I call my wife and if I only get one phone call, I'm going to tell her who all I want her to call, and I want her to call a good lawyer, to try to, help me out. But you don't find that in the life of Paul. Paul doesn't mention his struggles or his personal needs or his physical needs that he has as he's in prison. And Paul never complains. He never expresses any kind of regret here about the situation that he finds himself in life. Now, we have to understand why Paul is in prison. Paul is in prison because of what he believed and what he preached publicly is what has got him into the situation that he's in here. Paul constantly prayed for Timothy. When we pray, I think Thanksgiving is a good place to start. I think that's a good place to begin prayer, is just being thankful for what God has done. Thank God for the day of life. Thank God for answer to prayer. Be specific maybe at times about what God has done in our life. And I think that's an excellent way to begin a prayer. Now, we'll find here, let me read verse number 3 again. He says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, how much time did Paul spend sleeping? We don't know, but we do find that at nighttime Paul prayed for Timothy. During the daytime, Paul had times where he prayed for Timothy, and very, very important. You know, I really do believe this, that I think we would all agree this morning, it's easy to be depressed in life, is it not? I mean, that's an easy life to live. I don't have to work hard at getting depressed. I have to work hard to stay on top side. I don't have to put a lot of effort in trying to be depressed. I mean, if I want to be depressed, all I've got to do is just, I can go sit on the bench at Walmart and get depressed pretty quickly. I can get depressed when I go pump gas in my tank. I can get depressed when I watch the news. I can get depressed when you realize all the things that are happening in life. I mean, it gets pretty depressing in life. So as a believer, my struggle is, how do I overcome that draw in life to be depressed in life? How do I stay happy? How do I overcome the obstacles of depression and discouragement and disappointment? Has anybody been discouraged this past week at any point in life this past week? I have. You ever been disappointed this past week? I have. Have I disappointed others? I'm sure I have. Is it easy to be sad this past week? It's easy to be sad. It's a struggle to be happy. Now, I'm talking about with our flesh. I shouldn't say it's a struggle, because if we'll follow the principles of God, you'll find yourself living on top side. But I'm just saying, but my flesh struggles with it. My sinful nature struggles with it. And Paul, we've got to understand, surely Paul, he is at his deathbed. He's in prison. He probably realizes, and I think he does realize here, I'm never going to get out of this prison. I'll probably die in this prison. But not one time when Paul prays here does he pray about, woe is me. Let's be honest. We live life a lot about woe is me. We want everybody to know how bad it is and how difficult life is. Paul was not that way. Paul was someone, as we find here in verse number 3, he gave thanks to God. He praised God. He was thankful to God. He prayed without ceasing in remembrance of thee, talking about Timothy, in my prayers in verse number 3. Day and night did he pray for Timothy and for the work of God. You'll find, he says, verse number 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might that I may be filled with joy. He desired to see Timothy. He knew what an encouragement it would be to see Timothy, and he wants Timothy to stay by the stuff. He doesn't want Timothy to quit and throw in the towel here. Verse number 5: When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, so he's talking about the faith that Paul knows is in the life of Timothy. And he's going to encourage that faith, because it's faith that's going to carry you through. What's he going to carry him through? He's going to carry him through the persecution and the upward battle that they have at that time. It was not a friendly Christian place to live in at that time. And so he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, he says in verse number 5, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it that in thee also. So we find in verse number 5 that it's interesting to me. I feel like Paul is remembering a little bit of the past. He's remembering not only Timothy, but he is mentioning here and remembering and reflecting back about not only Timothy, but he had a good grandmother. He had a good mother. And by the way, I really feel for young people today. I think Timothy, one of the best things that he had going for him as a child, he had a good mother and a good grandmother that loved God, that was full of faith. Now you can kind of understand how is it that Timothy can be a great man of faith. Well, that faith that was exhibited by the grandmother and the mothers passed down to the son. That's why it's so important that we as grandparents and as parents and so forth, that we pass down the torch of faith and living by faith in God. And Paul here is talking about Timothy and how that he's remembered him. I'm sure he's thought back a lot about the past. He's in prison, and he's remembering his grandmother. He's remembering his mother. He's remembering how that faith was passed down to Timothy and how that faith that his grandmother and his mother have, how it was passed down and how it's inside of you now as well. Because Timothy's going to need that faith to carry him through, because there's some dark days that lie ahead, and Timothy is going to need to be strong in God and strong in the Lord. And Paul chose to remember, he remembers the best things. You know, I jotted down a note here. We always have the choice of what we want to remember about life. Sometimes I'm guilty of remembering the bad things. Sometimes I can remember some of the good things of life. But you know what? We get to choose what we want to remember in life. And Paul could have very easily reflected back on how he was unjustly treated in life. And by the way, Paul was treated very unjustly in life. May I remind us this morning, nowhere in the Word of God does it ever promise you that you're going to have an easy life when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Paul could have remembered back of the times that he was beaten. He could remember back and maybe make mention of times that everybody lied about him. Paul could remember back and choose the struggles of the ministry and the struggles of life and the physical problems that he's had in life. And Paul doesn't mention any of that. What does Paul mention? He says, I remember. He says he's remembering great faith in your grandmother. I remember the great faith that your mother had. I remember the great faith that even dwells inside of you, Timothy. And that faith is what's going to help and carry you through. Verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Very important verse here. It's a well-known verse, but very important verse here. If I read my Bible correctly, does God's word say that God hath given me the spirit of fear? Does God give you the spirit of fear as a believer? No. So you have to realize when you live life in fear, it's not the spirit of God that's influencing you. Probably an evil spirit that's influencing you. Because as we find in verse number 7, you'll find here that God hath given us not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, he says right here. Three things: power, love, and of a sound mind. Very important key elements to live a successful Christian life. We have to understand all three of these. Number one, Paul says here, verse number 7, that God has given us power. You have to realize that you only have a very small amount of power on your own, but boy, when you receive the power of God, you have all the power you need. In fact, God gives us the power to do what God calls us to do, and God's called us all to maybe in different directions of life and different jobs in life and different avenues of life. But no matter what God calls you to do, he'll always give you the power to succeed at it. God gives us also in verse number 7 the ability to love. If you say, I find it real hard to love that individual, well, then you're denying the power of God. You see, God gives you the power to love everybody. There's nobody in this world that we should not love. Why? Because I have the ability to love that person. If I choose not to love them, it's because I choose not to love them. I've got the ability that's available unto me, and the reason that a believer can love a very ungodly, worldly, hateful, mean individual is because God's given us that ability this morning. We have the power of love. Also, he says here that God's given us the spirit also of a sound mind. Is that not encouraging this morning? You just thought you were crazy. Do you realize as a child of God, God gives us a sound mind? Now, the world doesn't understand this. You see, the world will view us as you're a little wacko, you're a little weird, you're a little out there, you're a little fanatical. No. The reason that we believe what we believe is because God's given us a sound mind. In fact, you'll find that basically what Paul is saying here is that God has given us the ability to stay sane in the middle of a crazy, messed up world. You ever made the statement, I think I'm going to go crazy? I say that about every day. No. I'm not going to go crazy, and it's not because of my ability. It's because God gives me the ability to stay sane in a very messed up world. You watch the news. Is it not, just sick, ungodly things taking place nowadays? I mean, just things that, you know, how does a human being even think those kind of things? I mean, where does some of this come from in life? And God says, I'll help you with that because God's going to give us the spirit of a sound mind. Three things God's going to give you. He's not going to give you fear. If you're living in fear this morning, it's because of your own doing or the influence of an evil spirit. But here's what God has given you: power, love, and a sound mind. You know, if you've got the power of God and the ability to love and a sound mind, you'll survive today. You'll make it another week. You'll make it another month. You'll be here another year from now. You'll continue on because you have those three very key items in your arsenal this morning. What are they? Power, love, and a sound mind. So when somebody calls you, you're crazy, then I'm not crazy. I got a sound mind. God gave it to me. We'll move on here. You'll find in verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Paul is telling Timothy here, don't be ashamed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It'd be easy because everybody pretty well is against us. You'll find that it wasn't popular to be a Christian. It was not popular to wear a t-shirt out in society that says, I love Jesus Christ. It wasn't popular to carry your Bible. It wasn't popular to serve the Lord. It wasn't popular to be a part of the church. And Paul is saying here in verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And the reason that I believe he tells Timothy that is because it was easy to be ashamed. Think about young people, and I shouldn't just zero in on young people because I think adults struggle with a lot of the same things that teenagers do and children. Sometimes it's hard for young people, and let's be honest, sometimes it's hard for us to take a stand when we know that we ought to take a stand at times. And he tells him, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. And the reason that he says that is because there were people in society that were mocking Paul, degrading Paul, and trying to make it unpopular to be associated with Paul. He's the one in prison. He's the guilty one. He's the one that's preaching blasphemous. He's the one that's preaching and teaching lies. And so all that's taking place, and he's being very belittled in life, so it would be easy to not be associated with Paul. It says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Basically, Paul is saying we don't need to be ashamed of who we are. You see, this week when we go out in society, we don't have to be ashamed of who we are. Be willing to stand up and speak up for Jesus. Be willing to speak up and stand up for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to be popular, and there will be times you may be by yourself. And it's not easy to take a stand. But Paul is encouraging Timothy to don't be ashamed and take your stand. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of me being a prisoner. He says in verse number 9, who hath saved us, talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. There's a lot of information there. Basically, Paul is telling Timothy, you remember your calling. You know, sometimes you have to remember what God's called you to do, because the devil's going to put doubt in your mind. The devil's going to try to make it as easy to get off track of what God has for you in life. Paul is telling Timothy here, don't forget who called you to do what you're doing. God called you. And if God called you, he's going to get you the power to succeed, as we've already found out. He's not only going to do that, but he's going to give you the ability to love people when they are very unlovable in life. Have you ever met people that are unlovable? Man, I think God has placed people in my path at times to challenge me. I mean, you know I'm supposed to love them, but boy, they make it hard to love them. People disappoint you. Maybe somebody in your own family that you really struggle to get along with, to love, to care for them, because They've hurt you so many times, and they've broken your heart so many times. It's hard. But boy, do we actually understand this morning? I have the ability to love them as Christ loves them. God gave me that spirit of love, and He gave me the spirit of a sound mind. I can actually keep all my wits together. I can keep all my thoughts together. I can survive in this crazy, ungodly, upside-down world we live in. Paul reminds him in verse number 9, and don't forget who called you. With a holy calling, he says in verse number 9, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Boy, what a thought there. Verse number 10, but it is now made manifest by the appearing of our... And by the way, verse number 10, I've never really studied verse number 10 a lot, but in my lesson book, whoever wrote that was saying verse number 10 to him as an author was the whole focal point of the whole chapter. He says, but it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, it's good for us to remember from time to time exactly what God has done for us and what God can do for us. I just kind of believe this morning, if Jesus Christ can conquer death, I think he can solve my problems. Verse number 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Paul says, I do suffer. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Does anybody know where that verse comes, where we see that quite often? It's in a what? Song. Name of the song is, do you know what's? Okay, I think that is the title of the song. I guess I should have grabbed a song book this morning. We sing it all the time. Very well-known verse, and the reason we know it so well is because we sing it all the time. Look at verse number 12. For this which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. And here's where it goes. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm going to give you the key word here. It's my personal opinion, I guess. When Paul says this in the very middle of the verse, for I know whom. Paul knew. Paul had a good personal relationship with his Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. You see, I had a preacher say a statement one time that's always stuck with me since I was young. He said this, many people know of God, but very few know God. You see, there's a difference in knowing of God and knowing God. And I believe that to be very, very true. Paul didn't know about God. His Savior, Paul knew him personally. I know whom. He doesn't say, I know of, I know about, I know whom I believe. Do we? Well, sure, I'm a believer this morning. I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that may be true, but do you know him? You see, I'm a believer this morning. I think there's many people that sit in the pews of a church, and I don't doubt maybe that they're a child of God, but far too many people know of him. They know of Christ from a Sunday school lesson, or they know of Christ because the preacher preached about him, or they know of Christ because the pastor said this about him. We need to get way past that, and we need to know him. He says in verse number 12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he, talking about his Savior Jesus Christ, is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's a wonderful thought this morning when you realize Christ is the one that's doing all the keeping. It's not about Paul. It never was about Paul. It's always been about his Savior, Jesus Christ. And may I say this morning, that must be our theme as well. It's not about us this morning. It's all about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not saying Paul was perfect, and I'm not saying Paul never made a mistake. But one thing about Paul, he knew who he believed. And when you know him, you can live in prison. You ever thought about being put, and you got to realize, prison in Paul's days, he didn't have access to an air-conditioned cell room, three meals a day, with a free library, free education, and free whatever he wants in life. He was in a very dark dungeon of a prison, hated by most people. A lot of lies told about him, and most people in society believed the lies. I'm sure Paul at times had to be a little lonely. I think that's one of the reasons why he even desired and made comment he desired to see Timothy. I'm sure he just liked to see someone. I think Paul probably was put in prison, and I think there probably were days and weeks and maybe months where his eyes never saw a living soul. But yet Paul never wavers. How can that be? Because he knew whom he believed. And when we sing that song, we have to realize that came from 2 Timothy. That came from a letter that Paul sends unto Timothy. That's why we sing. That's where that song comes from. That's why I like the old hymns of the faith. Give me that song versus all this new stuff people want to sing. This new music nowadays, I mean, it's the same three words over and over and over and over and over about 100 times. By the way, I don't think I'm wrong here. I think there's a lot of Bible doctrine in our songbook. I believe there's some living words of God on the pages of our songbooks that we sing from. And when we sing that song, may we ask ourselves, do I know him? I know whom I believe. Can't hardly see the clock. My eyes are giving way here on me a little bit. Verse number, let me see here. Let me just, I jotted a few notes here. I'll just share a few little thoughts here and we'll be done this morning. Paul, in prison, facing his own death, but yet in his last hours, his last days, I believe Paul reaffirms his faith in God. I jotted down some things here. Paul lost most of his eyesight. Paul lost most of his friends. Paul lost practically all of his money or had little or no money at all. Paul's a prisoner. Paul lost all of his freedom. And Paul died as a prisoner in prison. But Paul actually lived a life of great victory. Paul's faith was the difference. And as you read in this chapter, it's his faith. Paul believed and he knew whom, not what, but he knew whom he believed in. And it was in that belief and that faith in his Savior Jesus Christ that carries him to the very end. And may I remind us this morning, that's the only thing that will carry us to the end as well, is our faith and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our time's out. We'll stop here. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. God, help us and strengthen our faith this morning. And Lord, may we get to know you even more. May through the singing, the fellowship, through the preaching of your word, may it draw us even closer to you. To where as we leave today, we can actually say, I actually know you even more. And Lord, may that be true in every life. We love you. We thank you. We pray for the blessings upon the hour. We pray that you bless the message this morning. And Lord, help us as we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.